In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Today is the Sunday of St. Mary of Egypt, which means that this week we read her life. Now, many of you did not hear her life, so I'm going to read part of her life in the midst of this homily because it's so critically important. The lessons from St. Mary's life should absolutely resonate in your own life. You should know her life better than you know, I don't know, let's say your favorite TV series. Some people have episodes of TV series memorized. That's useless information. This is important information. Now, the gospel for St. Mary is the one where the woman is the sinner, right? A prostitute, probably with clients that were sitting at the table, since usually the elite avail themselves of such opportunities, sort of on the down low, hypocritically. But this woman wasn't a hypocrite at all, was she? She was a former sinner because she had given up her prostitution. She'd given up her sin. She knew that the Savior would save her. She wanted to ask forgiveness and she wanted to show her gratitude. So she came to him and she wept and anointed his feet with her tears and also then anointed his feet with very expensive ointment. We could tell the whole story, but the really big important thing is that the Lord, when he heard that Simon was, of course he heard in his mind, right? Simon was thinking, what's going on here? This man is allowing a sinner to touch him. He asked a question to Simon. He says, there's a certain creditor which has two debtors. The one owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave both of them. So tell me which will love him the most. Well, it's a pretty easy question. Everybody knows the answer. Do we know the answer? Do we really know the answer? Of course, we would say the one who was forgiven more. Do you know what the question was for? The question was to say, Simon, you're the one who owes 500. We all owe 500, or 5,000, or 5 million. We tend to think of ourselves as we're not quite as bad as the other guy. But we are. So we should love God very much because he relieves us of a very large burden. Now, St. Mary is a perfect example, perhaps the most perfect example in all the annals of church history, of someone who repented so outlandishly, so outrageously. So she is like this woman who came to the Lord and wept and anointed the feet. That was an outstanding act. That was an outrageous and a dangerous act for her to do. She could easily gotten herself stoned or beat up. But she did it because of her great love, because God had relieved her of her burden, of the sins that she committed. She was no longer going to go back to prostitution, to impurity. She wanted to thank him for it. So he says, Jesus says more to Simon, and this is shown also in St. Mary's life. So he's talking about the woman, and he says, he talks to Simon and tells him the stuff that he didn't do, how little he cared for Jesus when he came in the room. And then he says, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said to her, thy sins are forgiven. So it's not really important how many sins you have. It's important how much you love. How much you love God for forgiving your sins, for helping you along. And then, of course, extending that love to your fellow man, since the greatest commandment is to love God. But the second one falls completely naturally from it. And it's impossible to love God without loving others, loving your neighbor. So this woman had such great knowledge of her sin, knew that the Lord had relieved her of this burden. She was no longer going to go out into the street and defile herself. And she wanted to show gratitude. She loved much. Now let's look at Mary. Mary is one who loved much too. Now, a lot of sins, pretty much all of them, they're very messy. They're very hard to get rid of. Perhaps a few things we can divest ourselves of relatively easily, but an awful lot of things are hard. Irritability. If you're an irritable person, it's really hard not to be irritable. And you find yourself being irritable even when you don't want to be. If you have a problem with sexual thoughts, as Mary did, sexual thoughts and deeds, they possess you. Addictions of all kinds possess us. And they don't go away easily. It's not where we can say, well, you know, I'm done with this. And I repent of it. And then it's all over. I'll tell you a little bit about the life of St. Mary. The life itself takes 30 minutes to read. It's a beautiful life with many, many wonderful details. We don't have time to read it or to even kind of summarize it. So I'll do a quick summary. St. Mary, when she was 12 years old, became a street person and a prostitute, and even more than a prostitute, because she says she just was absolutely thirsted for everything filthy. And that's how she lived. For 17 years, she lived like that. And then, by God's providence, she wanted to get on a boat to go to the Holy Land, not because she wanted to go and be a pilgrim, but because on a boat, there were more men that were in an enclosed space, and she would have more of what she wanted, more filth. And then when she was in Jerusalem, there was time for the veneration of the cross. Everybody went to the church, including those that had been her clients. They all went. Everybody went because it was an event. So she went too, but she couldn't get in because God wouldn't let her in because of her sins. So she prayed to the Mother of God, and she promised to the Mother of God, "If you allow me to see the cross of your Son, I will go wherever you tell me, and I will never, ever commit fornication and impurity again." And she was good on that promise. So upon leaving the temple, she walked a long ways and went to this monastery and confessed and communed. And the interesting side note, God bless the priest who had such presence, such understanding of the Holy Spirit enlightened him to give her communion. That's not generally what you do. Somebody came to you and said, "I've been a prostitute for 17 years, and in fact, my last act of prostitution was a couple hours ago, and I want to have communion." A priest generally wouldn't do that, but this priest did, because this was part of the plan, God giving her that strength. So she went into the desert and spent 47 years in the desert struggling until she met Abba Zosimus, and then one more year, and she reposed at the age of, I believe, 77, if you add all the numbers up. Now, the first 17 years in the desert, she was still addicted to her sins. She still wanted that stuff. She's very graphic about it. She talks about it. And in fact, I will read that portion now because it's very important for us to have this resonate in our heart. This is the way you and I should be about our sins. We might say, "Well, you know, it's not like I'm a prostitute. It's not like I've committed murder, etc., etc." That's the wrong way to be thinking about yourself. You know what the worst sin is? The worst sin is to not love your neighbor, not love God. So which one of us can say that we're sinless in that regard? So let me read this. It's a rather long passage, but it's amazing. So try to listen to it very closely and then put yourself in her position. What would you do when you're tempted? Most of us, we'd run back to town, is what we'd do. Maybe after a week or a month or a year, but certainly after 17 years, we'd already be back in our sins. She said to him, "Believe me, Abba, 17 years passed in this desert with me fighting wild beasts, mad desires and passions. When I was about to partake of food, I used to begin to regret the meat and the fish of which I had so much in Egypt. I regretted also not having wine, which I loved so much, for I drank a lot of wine when I lived in the world, while here I had not even water. I used to burn and succumb with thirst. The mad desire for profligate songs also entered me and confused me greatly, edging me on to sing satanic songs, which I had learned once. But when such desires entered me, I struck myself on the breast and reminded myself of the vow which I had made when going into the desert. In my thoughts, I returned to the icon of the Mother of God, which had received me, and to her I cried in prayer. I implored her to chase away the thoughts to which my miserable soul was succumbing. And after weeping for long and beating my breast, I used to see the light at last, which seemed to shine on me from everywhere. And after the violent storm, lasting calm descended. And how can I tell thee about the thoughts which urged me on to fornication? How can I express them to thee, Abba? A fire was kindled in my miserable heart, which seemed to burn me up completely and awaken in me a thirst for embraces. And soon this craving came to me, and I flung myself on the earth, and I watered it with my tears, as if I saw before me my witness, who had appeared to me in my disobedience, and who seemed to threaten punishment for the crime. and I did not rise from the ground. Sometimes I lay prostrate for a day and a night, until a calm and sweet light descended and enlightened me and chased away the thoughts that possessed me. But always I turned my eyes, the eyes of my mind, to my protectress, asking her to extend help to the one who was sinking fast in the waves of the desert. And always I had her as my helper and the acceptor of my repentance. And thus I lived for 17 years amid constant dangers. And since then, even till now, the Mother of God helps me in everything and leads me, as it were, by the hand. 17 years of that kind of struggle. 17 years of burning with lust, so much that she would shake. And what did she do when she burned with lust? She didn't give in to the lust. The thoughts were still in her head. But she fought them. She got on the ground. She lay on the ground a day and a night and begged the Lord for help. And eventually calm descended upon her. And it would return again. That lust would return again in a week or a month or a day. But she would fight every single time. This is the example of loving much and being forgiven much, therefore. She loved God enough that she was willing to struggle with all of her heart and all of her body. Now, can you and I do such a thing? Can we live in the desert for 5 days without food, as she lived for years and years with 2.5 loaves of bread? She went into the desert with 2.5 loaves of bread. She said that after a few years, they were used up. Of course, we can't live like that without God helping us, without God intervening. But God intervened to allow Mary to live like that because of her great zeal. So he gave her the physical strength because she had within her zeal. She had power in her heart. Now, the reason we read lives of saints is to be inspired by them, not to be broken down by them. Not to say, I could never do such a thing. I'm a terrible person. You know, I can't even say my prayer rule every day. You know, when I have a lustful thought, I give in right away. I'm always so irritable and all the other stuff. That's not what you should be doing when you're reading lives of the saints. Instead, you should be seeing that God indeed can take a human being who wants to change, and they can change. Now, you might go through a tough time, or you might go through an easier time. It really depends upon a lot of factors. It depends on how addicted you are to your sins, how many sins. Some people are fortunate enough not to have experienced a lot of terrible things in their life and done a lot of terrible things, not necessarily because they're incredibly virtuous, but just they were fortunate, maybe the way they were raised. Other people, terrible things started happening, and they started doing terrible things when they're 5 years old. I go to prison, I know a lot of stories about, you know, childhoods that were not at all good childhoods. So your repentance might be difficult. It might be harder than the person next to you. It doesn't matter. God will help you if you struggle. This is the great advantage of reading the life of St. Mary. And I would say to you that didn't come to the service this week, come next week, or excuse me, next year. You need this. You need to hear these examples. You need to hear it read out loud, and you need to read it other times too. I've read this life a couple hundred times. I've only read it aloud, 24 times. Well, no, counting prison now, it's about 80 times, because I read it a lot. I read it 6 times to the guys in prison this week, this past 2 weeks. Read this life and benefit from it. We don't try hard enough. That's one of the things you should get out of Mary's life. You should get, first of all, that God can forgive everything. There's nothing in you that's irredeemable. Nothing. But if you're lazy, how's it going to get redeemed? You got to try harder. We need to try harder. That seems to be almost a blasphemy in our day, to tell people to try harder, because somehow that's mean, to tell people that they should try harder, that their effort's not enough. Well, I'm not telling you directly, like every single person, one among you, and say, you're not trying hard, you're not trying hard. This is a general thing, that none of us try hard enough. None of us. And you should be your greatest judge to say, I don't try hard enough. So I have a prayer rule, but I only say it once a week or twice a week. What's about that? Do you watch TV more than once a week? Do you eat more than once a day? Right? You can do it if you want to. If you really think it's important, then find a way to force yourself to do it. Now, I won't say if you really think it's important, you'll do it, because that's not necessarily true. If you really think it's important, you're going to do everything you can to make it happen. That's what Mary did. Mary said she wanted to repent of all of her sins, but for 17 years she was accosted by these thoughts. Those are sins, but she didn't give in to them. So even though she was a work in progress and struggling mightily with all of these thoughts and all of this lust and all of this burning and all of this regret, she was very strong in her struggles. And so God preserved her. That's the way it has to be with you and me. We don't try hard enough. The world says it's okay not to try hard. It's okay to say this is, you got a reason why you have to do this. You know, now with all the sexual sins, people say you're born this way, it's your environment, it's your this, it's your that. No, it's sin is what it is. It's you. It's you that does unclean things. It's you that says unclean things. It's you that thinks unclean things. It's you that's angry with your neighbor. It's your fault. But look what can happen when we repent. When we don't give ourselves excuses. She gave herself no excuses. What a wonderful, beautiful thing to have no excuses. And God saved her. I doubt very seriously for any sin in our life that it's going to take 17 years. Actually, probably for most of our sins, it's going to take our whole life because we don't try hard enough. But if you really apply yourself, God will help you. That's the story here. That's the beautiful, wonderful story of St. Mary. It's not really a modern story, is it? The modern story is pat you on the head, it's okay. It's okay, you know, we understand why you're like that. You know, it's the way you were brought up and blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, there's no blah, blah, blah when you go to the judgment. You don't have an opportunity to give any spin to the kind of person you are. It's just manifest. And it really doesn't matter. I've told you this 1,000 times. It doesn't matter about sin. I'm not concerned about people's sin, and God isn't either. I'm concerned about, and God is, repentance. If you repent from your sins, you will become victorious over them. It will happen. That's the important thing, to repent from your sins. In my experience, especially with some of the bigger sins, well, they're all big, really, but a lot of sins that really weigh on our minds, the worst part of the sin is not the sin itself. It's the aftermath, which causes 100 other sins and causes us to be dysfunctional in hundreds of other ways. Mary said, I'm a terrible sinner. I'm going to go out in the desert. I'm going to do whatever the Mother of God tells me to do. And she did it. And because of that, she ended up living like an angel even in this life. Had reached theosis even in this life, a former sinner. You can do it too. That's the story of St. Mary. Number one, there's nothing. There's nothing that God cannot forgive in you and heal in you. Nothing. And number two, you don't try hard enough. So let's try harder. And God will help us. God bless you.